Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a very blessed day of Pentecost to you, exactly 50 days after the Passover that was celebrated when Jesus was given over into death. So this on Sunday is the 50th day after Passover. And so Passover Day, which our text is about, yes, did happen on Sunday, the first day of the week. And so we read from Acts chapter 2. We've already heard a good portion of the gospel about the languages and all, and that Peter stood up with the 11. And so continuing that text a little bit, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, which is 9 a.m. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit on those days. And they shall prophesy. And so it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The first sermon of the Christian church, this was the text, an Old Testament text, because this text was all about this day, this Lord, and his Holy Spirit. And you and I know it well. I know you woke up today going, "It's Pentecost. Good, let's go to church. It's Pentecost." I remember once upon a time actually waking up on Pentecost thinking, "Hey, everything will be red today in church. It'll be wonderful. A great celebration." So we confess. We're in. We're in it. You and I have confessed the Holy Spirit. We have confessed Pentecost. We have confessed through days of our lives the Apostles' Creed, the third article, believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. The Holy Spirit. We confessed it today in the Athanasian Creed. "And in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from both the Father and the Son, and with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets." And in that third article, we have also confessed that it is that the Holy Spirit gave the church a baptism for the remission of sins. In the third article, it says that. The Holy Spirit. So has it ever struck you as odd in all these days of doing your catechism and learning everything from the creeds that the second article is about Jesus, say nothing about the forgiveness of sins, say nothing about the way it is that God brings his salvation of forgiveness through Christ's blood to you? No, it's none of that's in the second article about Christ. It's all in the third article, the Holy Spirit who forgives sins. Doesn't that strike you as a little unexpected? After all, you and I understand that Jesus is the one who has shed the blood, and Jesus is the one who gives his body and blood to us, himself to us in the waters of baptism for the forgiveness, for the remission of sins, which when sins are removed, that means you are sanctified, you are made holy, you are pure, you are clean, you are blameless in these things of the church. The forgiveness of sins is given by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one that Jesus said would come. You and I all know that no one says Jesus is Lord, as the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, except in the Holy Spirit. And it's an interesting translation, in the Holy Spirit. So there's no asking Jesus to come in by our merits. It's all the Holy Spirit who has already given Jesus. So then we follow our text a little more now with Peter and his foundational sermon, because what he is saying here in the prophet of Joel is, in the latter days you're going to see darkness Now, he was speaking this to people in Jerusalem. So not 50 days before, they had experienced earthquakes and darkness. They had experienced people from the dead walking around, smoke, fire, billows, all the rest. And so in the prophet Joel, talking about the latter days, but it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord. So this is fascinating. It's always kind of bothering, and I know it bothers us because we live in such a spiritual world that divorces spiritual so easily from the Holy Spirit. Unless it applies to you being fervent, emotional, on fire, and all the rest, and devout, and strong in your faith in that. That's the only time it seems that people in many circles of even the church, not to mention the community at large, I'll say here, all you Hallmark fans, talk about things spiritual. So every once in a while you have to say when you come to church, you know, some come, and Lutheran pastors are used to this because we're old guard. Word and sacrament, confessions, you know, it's just, I don't know if we're on fire spiritual enough for a lot of folks out there. But what about it? Are you being spiritually fed? Today, are you being spiritually fed? Well, listen to how Peter says it. Your young men, your young women, male, female, dreams, visions, these are not the way that Yahweh's prophets operate. Sure it is that the Lord sets a vision, but it's concrete with a flesh and blood person, the Word of God in the flesh. But dreams and visions are not the ways of the church. But yet, Joel is used here that there will come a day when everyone is going to prophesy. And you know what's going to be the evidence? Now that we have seen Jesus crucified and raised from the dead in the flesh, it's no longer a vision. It's no longer a dream. It's no longer a, I think the Messiah will look like this. I think this is how it's going to happen. And so we look up Isaiah, Jeremiah for their understanding of what Messiah is going to be. But now it says in Peter's foundational sermon, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know what he does then next, even though it cut it off in the lectionary? He goes on to say, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. He puts a flesh and blood person to it. He puts a location to it. He puts a time to it. He goes right to the heart of the matter of who this Lord is that you call upon in his name. It's not a, whoa. I get it. It's a person. It's a person that is now revealed that takes care of all the dreams and the visions. True dreams, false dreams, visions that are planted in the Lord's Word, visions that are just, where are they coming from? No one has to guess this anymore. Men of Israel, says Peter, one of the 11, the apostles, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God by miracles, wonders, and signs. Do we know who he's speaking about? Do they know who he's speaking about 50 days after he was crucified and now raised from the dead? So it is said, so it is seen, so it is reported, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. All of a sudden, something's going on here different with Peter. This is the doubting Peter. This is the Peter that, oh, Lord, no matter what, you don't take him at his word, Peter. You'd think he'd learned his lesson by now, right? After he denied the Lord, after he fled the Lord, Peter is now standing up with the 11, speaking in other languages and all the rest, and makes it very clear, you crucified this Lord. Well, you know, we pastors, we don't like to do that because when you're in that office, you kind of, well, we're all sinners. You know, I need to bring the pulpit down a little bit, kind of be on your level so we're all in this, which we are. But the Lord is conferring something here to his church and to his sinner, the most sinful of them all, except for me and you, Peter, who then turns to these people, to this congregation that is gathered around and says, you crucified him. Well, now we understand that Peter is not speaking about the man, Peter. He's speaking from an office. He's speaking from an authority which has been given to him by this Holy Spirit as an apostle to speak truth to the people. And you and I all know that 2,000 years later that we had a part in this crucifixion, in this death of Jesus, because he died for you and for me. And so we understand what it means when we get accused of, you crucified this Lord. Now we understand that we are in his church because we can be honest enough with ourselves and not be so down about it and so upset about it, but by freed by it to know that we are sinners, poor, miserable sinners who deserve nothing but death, wrath from God. But now Peter, the apostle, speaking from this office of the holy ministry in the church, turns to his people, and we will say in the prayers, in the liturgy, and behooves the people to give heed to him. This Jesus God has raised, of which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Now, something else going on in Jerusalem, which you don't get in most of your books, and I dare say most of our pastors don't get it, but I happen to have a professor that was pretty good at this stuff, knowing what was in the minds. But you look it up in your Bible dictionary, and you see Pentecost. How else do I know it's 50 days? I don't know that every day of the week. But it's a harvest festival. It's barley harvest is coming in. And so it's kind of like secular people today kind of celebrate Christmas, don't they? And we go, but what's the real reason for the season, you know? But a lot of lore comes up, and it comes out of things that are true. So, for instance, we have St. Nicholas of Myra, a real person, who now gets conflated by the lore of the holiday and for the holy day as Santa Claus. And we know there's a lot to be said about that, particularly as younger ears grow older and ask questions. The same lore has developed around the festival of Pentecost, the harvest festival. It's there for the harvest to give thanks to God, to give sacrifices to him. But something else that is going on Pentecost, because it developed as part of their Jewish tradition, that Pentecost became known as the one festival of the year that celebrated the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai by Yahweh. But something else that's come, and that's not lore, that's like, there's a real St. Nicholas. But something else that's developed in their minds is the lore. And when God gave the law to all men, because it's a universal law, not just for our tribe, not just for our little community here, but this law is universal. This law is for all. This law is so written into our hearts by this, as my wife reminded me today, yeah, written in our hearts. Because another thing that happened, not only was the law given to Moses, but it was given in all the languages of the world. This was a big in-the-background story for those who came to Jerusalem for Pentecost. The Lord gave his law, which is life for them, in the languages of the world. So what's just happened on this Pentecost? You have these 11 standing up and speaking in other languages of the entire world. Do you not think that would catch the attention? And this just after everything turned dark, earthquakes and all the rest at the death of Jesus, not 50 days before? What is going on? This speaks with the reality in their lives. This speaks with their experiences of wondering who they are in the midst of all these God events. And now you see these Galileans speaking in languages. Astounding. Heart-changing. Converting. Things are going to go on by the timing of God and his apostles here. He poured out this Spirit, which you now see and hear, Peter says. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know truly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. No one can say Jesus is Lord, according to Paul, except in the Holy Spirit. And here it is. Whoa. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now that word is spoken a lot and in a lot of even Christian places. Well, what should I do now? Well, all you need to do is, and then you can think of the various solutions for you. This is the old Great Awakening stuff in America. You know, the altar call, they call it. They don't even have an altar, but okay, that's where you do this. So you ask Jesus in your heart. But it says in the Scriptures you have no heart to ask Jesus into except in the Holy Spirit. But notice what the apostle does. He doesn't give them a speech for that. Everything's free except you need to do a little this. Then Peter said to them, repent, which in the pure simplicity of that word simply means turn. Turn away from, turn toward. That's what repent means. It doesn't mean grovel. It simply means turn from your ways of old and turn to this which is now given and presented to you by these apostles and by those who are with them there in Jerusalem for you. Repent and let every one of you, oh, male, female, children, old people, IQ geniuses, those that are really, really slow. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the passive. Receive this to you in the name of Jesus Christ. That is to say, there were a lot of other baptisms around then, but this is the one that distinguishes that which is done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the baptism that Jesus instituted to his disciples as he ascended into heaven. As you're going, baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You notice what happens after you're baptized? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. As baptism happens to you, are you getting spiritually fed? Did your parents spiritually feed you? I know I can speak that here because this is the congregation where we're gathered in the same name because we are baptized in that name. Because we have been spiritually fed and nourished, even on bad days in our families. This is what we've had the whole time because we've come to the Lord's name, His name. And we've come in His name by which we are baptized into His kingdom. And this is the gift of the Holy Spirit. So be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. That means no more sin for you and in your life as God looks at you. You may know a few things and God knows them too. But as God looks at you standing there in His name and in this baptism, He sees you as sanctified. That means holy, 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 like God Himself is holy without sin, not doubting, not wondering, not thinking, well, am I spiritually qualified or not? Am I on fire enough or not? Am I strong enough in my faith or not? Me, 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 me. And you're also finding something else out about Pentecost. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not like, well, now Jesus has done all this and it's time for the church to start proclaiming and get to work. No. It's time for the church to continue receiving the gifts whereby you are brought to your holiness. And it comes to you in the word and in the sacrament, not through anything you do or bring yourself up to. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes to people like you and me because He knows we eat, we drink. Babies know it's mom's milk. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Babies come to their mom's milk because the milk itself gives the nourishment. The milk itself gives life and sustains life. This Lord says, come to my baptism. You will receive this. And this is the same Lord that says, do this, my body, my blood, for the forgiveness of sins for you. This is a spiritual gift par excellence because it is of the Holy Spirit. You wonder if you're spiritual enough? Well, next time you're kneeling at the altar like we do again today and day after day after day, man, are we living the life of the Spirit or what? Because it is the Spirit who delivers to you the same way that he did to the virgin named Mary, the flesh and blood of Jesus in her womb for us. It's the same Holy Spirit which brings you and delivers you and gives to you the gifts of body and blood. You weren't redeemed with silver or gold. That's what Peter says. You weren't redeemed with your own faith and your own works. You were redeemed with the precious body and blood of this Jesus. Well, how are you going to get it? From those that bring you to it in the places where it is. Food, drink, milk. Nothing emotional about any of that, just a fact of life. This is how the Lord works it in his church for you and for me. And on this Pentecost, we can celebrate it. They were baptized. And guess what happened then? Word and sacrament. It just seems so objective. Oh, but that's the point. It's not subjective. It's not, how far do you have to go to get yourself into a spiritual mind? Well, you'll never know how far you need to go. It's like exercise. Have you exercised enough? If you can do 20 reps or 20 lengths, maybe you can do 25 next time. Is it ever enough? We know what that is. But with this, your Lord doesn't play with you that way. He gives you everything. Everything all the time. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. This in the foundational sermon of the Christian church, be saved from this perverse generation. That is this perverse, shall we say, going after things that are spiritual that go nowhere. Oh, that's so soft, and that's such an inspiring thought in a card that you got me. No. Go to those things which are clear and objective. Don't tell your baby that if you just believe it's milk, it'll be milk. And how many things can we talk about today about that reality trying to get redefined to us? It's not because you think it's milk. It's because you know it's milk, even when the baby can't even say the word yet. But the baby knows, because the baby knows that's life. And that's what's given. And mom doesn't have to say, oh, what an experience. I mean, it may be an experience for mom. And there may be a lot of celebration and a lot of rejoicing, and that's wonderful. But that's not what's keeping baby going. Not to mention you and me in our adult lives with Christ. So those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. I wonder why so many in Jerusalem were ready to do that after what had been going on these 50 days. Do you think maybe the audience was right and it was a perfect time for the Lord to do all of this during Pentecost? And they continued steadfastly. And this is where the translations kind of mess it up a little bit. But you can do this. And by the way, ironically, I found this to be substantiated. But one of my members had an old Catholic Bible. You know, the official Bible of the Roman Catholic Church. You know, we don't let those in Lutheran churches, right? Well, imagine my astonishment when he brought me, he was Luther now, okay, well, we do all that stuff, but he brought me the old translation, and it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the communion of the breaking of the bread. Communion, koinonia, of the breaking of the bread. And grammatically in the Greek, it can and is done correctly. But so many of our translations are by those that don't see the body and blood. So they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the communion of the breaking of the bread, and in the definite article, prayers. The prayers that we are about this day when we called on the name of the Lord, and he is with us here in this place by his word and by his sacrament. Oh, there's that phrase again. Well, this is Pentecost. This is spiritual. This is of the Holy Spirit. And this, dear friends, myself included, is for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for your own life and your own confidence of who you are in this Lord, in this God, who created you and now has redeemed you and has now forgiven you your sins by the Holy Spirit, who delivers to you the gifts of Jesus Christ, the body and blood. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.